God tells us to count it all joy. What a strange thing for God to tell us to count difficulty, hardship, as joy. But what we've been learning is that God tells us and commands us to consider it joy because there is one thing that doesn't change whether things are going well or things are not going so well. And that's His love for us. That's His promises for us. And so today we're going to continue on in that area as James talks about something we all have thought about or perhaps desire, and that is the topic of success. Who here grew up or still wants to be successful? Can I just see a show of hands? Okay, we got the translation going, right? Success? Okay, I don't see enough hands because I know most of us here are Asian and we have success. We all want success. Well, James is going to talk about that today in these verses. So we're going to look at James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 12 together. And I just wanted to say, you know, let's be very thankful for the translators who are doing service for the Lord. It's not an easy job, and they're serving God through that. So always be thankful. Even if they don't get every single word, still be thankful, because they're doing the Lord's work and serving us as the body of Christ. James chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. This is what the Word of God says. Let the lowly brother boast in exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation. Because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let's pray one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can gather together and worship you. May this not just be outward action, but deep in our hearts, may we know you more. Deep in our hearts, may we call you Lord and Savior and Father. Remind us of the relationship that you have made possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. And may we grow to know your perspective, how we ought to think and live as believers of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, if I were to ask you, what does it mean to be successful in life? What are the thoughts that immediately come to your mind? A lot of times, maybe some of us who are parents who came here and those before us who came to America, many come with dreams of success. In fact, it's still called the American dream, that you can come from any country and come to America and still, with hard work and determination, you can be successful. But what does it mean to be successful? We grow up thinking getting the best grades, going to the best schools, perhaps getting the best jobs, getting more and more degrees at the end of your name. You know, there's a joke that says, however many letters at the end of your name you have, that shows how successful you are. MD, PhD, I don't really know many other ones. But we like to measure success in this world by worldly accolades, by worldly achievements. And so we think about success, and oftentimes success means money. Because, hey, if you have a lot of money, surely that shows that you're being successful in this world. Because if you have money, then you have security. If you have money, then you don't have as many troubles. That's what people believe. If I just had a little bit more money, then I would be less stressed. If I just had a little bit more prestige, then people would look at me differently. There's ideas of success that we have grown up with, and even in the church today, unfortunately, we live a lot of times by the world's standard of success. But the Bible makes it very clear that the American dream is not the dream that God has for us, the purpose that God has for us as Christians. There's nothing wrong with being successful. There's nothing wrong with making money. But if that is what you are living for, if that is where your thoughts go, where your heart is, and you are saying that you're a believer of Jesus Christ, then something is not right. Because as Christians, we're not living for the success of this world. We're living as children of God, and that means something for us. Not the American dream, because you know what? Jesus never promised us that if you work hard, that you will succeed. You know what he did promise us? Even if you work hard, sometimes there's failure. There's hardship. There's still difficulty in life. So we have to remember God's words. What is God telling us here in the Bible? Well, James talks about being rich and being poor in the passage that we just read together. And so he has an eternal perspective for us to have. Now, I don't know how that translates into the Chinese and Cantonese and Mandarin, but what James is saying is you can't just live for right now. You can't just live for the 70, 80 years that you'll have on this earth. You have to learn to think, to live for eternity. That means long after your time on this earth ends. Eternal things, things of God, things that don't fade away. That's what God wants us to live for. And so he offers this perspective, this way of thinking and living for both the poor and for the rich. And those are the two points that I'm going to talk about today. First is this perspective that he gives to the poor. Now let's look together in verse 9. It says, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation." Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Now, this is a strange verse because if you look at it and if you think about it, how many of us here, when we are low, think, wow, everything is great? How many of us, when we don't have much money, think, wow, this is awesome? Very few of us would think in such a way. And I'm not trying to say that maybe some of us here haven't experienced hardship, perhaps even financial hardship, and maybe even we're going through it right now. But James, as he writes to the believers that are scattered, there are literally people who are struggling for the basic means of living. There are believers that he is writing to that they don't have enough money for food, to put food on the table. They're having trouble finding food to eat, a place to lay their head comfortably, taking care of their children, their families, and so they're in a difficult situation and time. And it's in the midst of that that James says, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation." Now, if you're poor, you're hungry, and it's hard to find food, and it's hard to have money, if someone tells you, boast in your exaltation when you're poor, you might be a bit confused. Maybe it might even make you angry. How could you say that to me? Don't you see the trouble that I have in my life? Don't you see that I can't even feed my children right now? How can you say to me, boast in your exaltation? Some might even curse someone who would say those words. And again, when we are low, when we don't have much, a lot of times we just think, if I just had a little bit more, then I could get out of this trouble. If I just had a little bit more money, if I just had a little bit more resources, life would be so much easier and better. But James speaks a different perspective to the poor. James speaks a different perspective to the poor believers. And how does he start this passage? He says, brothers. He says, brother. Lowly. Brother. And this is important because the thing that he wants to remind the believers who are scattered around, even those going through difficult times in life, he reminds them that more than what money they have or they don't have, how much food they have or they don't have, how nice their clothes or their house or their whatever it is that they might have, he says, the most important thing, I'm going to address you as brother. You see, their identity should not be in the things of this world. And so as James uses the simple title, brother, it's saying, remember who you are. You are part of the family of Jesus Christ. You're part of the family of God. You may not have much in this world, but there's something that you have that this world cannot take away. There's something that you have that was given to you by God's grace. Forgiveness, salvation, family in Christ. You have the forgiveness of God. You have salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, though they may not have much in the eyes of the world, they have this fact. And look at what it says in verse 12 of the passage we read. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. That means no matter what you go through, remembering God, surrendering to Him, trusting in Him. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. The crown of life. What greater reward than to be part of the family of God? And that's a promise that He gives. It doesn't matter how much you're struggling. And maybe some of us here are struggling. It doesn't matter how poor or lowly you may feel or the world may tell you you are. God says, you're my child. And my promise to you is if you know me, if you love me, and you know my love for you, there is a crown that awaits. So live with that hope, with that promise in mind. Anytime you face difficulty, if you are low right now, don't think, well, if I just love God, then He'll bless me with more money or with more finances. No, no, no. He has already given you and promised you the crown of life. Boast in that. Boast in Christ in that exaltation that is a promise unto you. Are you living with this eternal perspective? Or have you been caught up in this world? Have you been competing with others? Oh, they have more than I do. I better work harder. Or can we say, God, thank you for what you've promised to me. Thank you for giving me the crown of life that I can think about and know is for me, so that no matter what I go through right now, I can look forward to eternity with you. In Christ, I know it sounds, I don't know how the word cheesy sounds in Chinese. This is going to sound kind of cheesy, or maybe too many people say these kind of things. But even if you're poor, you are rich in Christ. Even if you're poor, you are rich in Christ. Amen? That's the truth. Now, James doesn't leave those who are well off out. Because there are Christians who are struggling, but there are also still Christians who are doing well, even though they're being scattered in different areas. So let's look at verse 10. So he addresses the poor, now he addresses the rich. It says, and the rich in his humiliation. Because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away, for the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Now, when you have a lot, when you feel that you can provide for yourself a lot of things in life, because maybe you've worked hard, you have gotten the degrees, you have gone to the schooling, You have worked, 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 and so now in the eyes of the world, you are successful. Oftentimes, we in those times, in those situations, we fail to look at God. Because what we feel is, I've earned this. This is about me because I worked hard and I achieved. So even if you are rich and have a lot, you need this word of God that tells you, even though you have a lot, guess what? That's not what your life should be about. That's not what your life is called to be if you say that you are a believer of Jesus Christ. Like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls, its beauty perishes. It's saying, if you live for the things of this world, remember, you can have the biggest house filled with money, but it will disappear. You don't get to take that with you when you pass away. Did you know that? Although there are kings in history that said, bury me with as much of my gold as you can. But you can't take it with you. You see, those are earthly things. And so even for the rich, he's saying, remember the word of God. You see, James is not trying to fix an economic problem. He's not saying, let me tell you how if you're poor, you can become rich. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, hey, if you have too much money, you need to learn to give that away. That's not what he's saying. Change the way that you think about life. Change the way, the perspective that you have about what is important to you in your life. And you, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then it cannot be the things of this world. Again, maybe some of us here are well off. That's great. I praise God and thank him for your success in this life. But how sad would it be if you gain so much in this world, if you have all the degrees after your last name, if you have all the numbers before the decimal in your bank account, and yet your soul is lost because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, it doesn't matter how much money you have or how many things you own or how nice they are. What matters in this world is not the success that the world teaches. It's the person of Christ. Do you know him? Do you know the promise of God that the crown of life is far greater and far more grand than anything that this world can tempt you with or offer you? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, this is what it says. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What has your heart been set on these days? Have you been living for God? Have you had eternal perspective? Or have you gotten caught up in this world? I need more money. I need more things. I just want to be successful. God does not want of us to be simply successful people. Again, God doesn't say success is bad. It's okay to be successful. But that is not what determines your worth. That is not your purpose in this life. And for those of us who have children, raising successful children, that's also not your main purpose. Your purpose is to teach them about this crown of life. And you should be praying each and every day that your children will grow up not to be successful in this world, but that they will have the love of God in their hearts. Amen? No matter how old your children may be today, pray for them with this in mind. More than worldly success, the love of God in their hearts. This is the perspective we need to have. Not just right now because I'm talking about it, but every day as you learn this steadfastness of faith. Growing in your understanding of his love for you, and that just changes your heart. I know I need that more and more every day. Let's grow in that perspective. It's a perspective that we can't change our mind on our own. We need to ask God to change that in our hearts. Because even if we're convicted right now and we say, wow, this is great, tomorrow comes. And we have to say it again, God, that's what I want to live for. I want to live for you, for what you want of us. Another passage in Luke chapter 12, we know that there's this parable of a man, a very wealthy man. He produces all these crops. And so what does he do? He says, oh man, I need to get bigger storage places so I can fill it with all the crops that I'm taking in. I'm getting more and more, and I need to save more and more because, hey, I'm working hard and I'm getting profit. This is great. And God says to the man, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? You can't take it with you. Even wealth and success, be purposeful with the resources that God blesses you with. Ask of God, how can I live for eternal perspective? Even in the way that I use my finances and my money and think about my money, it shows where your heart is at. Everything that we do is a reflection of what is inside of us. And so God wants us to have eternal perspective. So I ask the question again, what are you living for right now? Just because you're in church, maybe you'll say, oh, yeah, I'm living for God. But I want to ask you, honestly, in your heart, what are you living for right now in your heart? If you just between you and God, God, this is what I've been living for. And if it's not him, if it's not the eternal perspective, repent. Turn away from this worldly success perspective and turn towards God and the crown of life that he promises to those who believe. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. This is what the word of God says. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. This is a special word of God to those who are wealthy. So for those of us here who are wealthy, God bless you. This word is especially for you. Do not put your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Remember who has given you even all that you have. I'm not saying you didn't work hard. I'm not saying you didn't achieve. But ultimately, it's God who allows for it. It's God's grace that has given these things to you. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So good. The word of God is so good. All that you have, whether it's a lot or a little, but here it's talking about those blessed with great resources. Even the money that you have, that is not where your hope is. Your hope is in the person of God through his son, Jesus Christ. That is the true life that he promises to those who believe. I want to close with a story that I've shared before in the English congregation, but it's something that, for me, is I always remember. Back in 2007, I went on a mission trip to Africa, to the country of Kenya. And it was 2 weeks in separate locations, but for two of the weeks, I was able to stay in an orphanage in a city called Kapsuar, which is basically, it's not really even a city, it's like a town that's located on a mountain. And so here I was in Mount Kapsuar in Kenya. Okay. And my mission team stayed at this orphanage for a couple of weeks, and you know, we did a lot of fun things with them. We taught them about the Bible. We built relationships with them. We sang songs about Jesus. We did a vacation Bible school with them, teaching them about God's love and how much He has even a plan for them. And if one was to look at these children in this orphanage, in the eyes of the world, they have nothing. In the eyes of the world, 0% success. Many of them, they had to wear the same clothes every single day. Now, some of us maybe wear the same clothes every single day because we want to. But they have to. And they don't have regular washing of their clothes and all these different things. In this orphanage, these are kids who were in very difficult situations. I remember this one kid, we learned about how he ended up at the orphanage, and it was because some nice people, I guess, had found this child. He was tied to a tree and just left there, naked with no clothes. Parents had just tied him to a tree and left, abandoned him. And so they brought him into this orphanage. So these are some of the background of some of the kids who were there. In the eyes of the world, so low. In the eyes of the world, they have nothing, perhaps, to their name. Every day they would eat kind of the same small meal of porridge made from the corn. So very cheap, not very, you know, filling, perhaps. And the whole time, our team that was there, we started to take pity on the children. Because we thought about how much we had in America. And we saw them, we said, man, they have so little. They have nothing. And they're living out here in these poor conditions. But something happened as we got to know the kids more each and every day, as we spent time with them, as we were teaching them. One of the greatest things that I remember about my time in that orphanage is during the times of praise when we sang songs about Jesus. I'll tell you right now, these kids, when they sang, when they danced with such joy and such happiness. They were so joyful. And the world might look at them and say, what do you have to be happy about? What do you have to be joyful about? You're wearing the same stinking clothes every single day. You don't even have shoes. You don't even know who your parents are. The world might look at their situation and say, they have nothing. So how can they be singing for joy and dancing around with the biggest smiles on their faces? Because they knew about something that we need to wake up and see in our hearts as well. That though they didn't have much in this world, they had the right perspective. These young children with very little to their name, they bear the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. They knew who their Father was in heaven. They didn't need a lot in this world because they knew everything that they had in Christ Jesus. And that was what their faith, as young as they were, allowed them to dance for joy because they knew Him. And so we had pitied them. But by the end of the trip, we were pitying ourselves. We were pitying ourselves because we were so stuck somehow, even as Christians in America, we're so stuck on what the world says is good, what the world says is success, what the world says is important. We were saying, God, give us the perspective that these kids have. Let us think and live like these children, that even if we were taken down to our very last article of clothing in life, if we had lost everything, that we would sit with dance and sing for joy because we know the Lord. We know the crown that is ahead. You know, and imagine these kids. I haven't seen them now in, it's been 12 years. But I know I'm going to see them again. And I wonder what kind of treasures they'll have stored up in heaven because they've lived life not looking for the things of this world, but they've learned at a young age how to keep their eyes on Christ and know the amazing worth, the amazing promises that he has for them. And I can't wait to see them again. I can't wait to sing and dance with them for Christ and his glory again. My heart is the same for everyone here in our church. We can't have this perspective just by, oh, okay, now I have this perspective. You need to know Christ. This isn't just a new way of thinking that we can make happen in our minds. It can only happen when truly Christ has worked in your heart. And so as I preach today, as I look out every Sunday and preach, my hope with all my heart and prayer is that I will see every one of you long after this earth has gone away. My hope and prayer is that you will be filled with a perspective that this life is not all it's about. It's about God who loves us, God who cares for you and for me. I pray that he works it out in your heart, that every single one of you and all of our families and children, that we will be saved by the grace of God, that we will have faith in Jesus Christ, and that this eternal perspective would now be the way that we are living. See, those kids, those little kids in Kenya, they had it right. They got it right. They got right what we too often in America get wrong. They lived each day with eternal perspective, knowing that God, their Father, had promised for them that he loved them no matter what, that he called them his own. Will we live like that? Will you live like that? What have you been living for? What is your perspective? How are you actually living life? Is Christianity just a part of your life, or is the person of Christ, your relationship with him, the very driving force? The purpose is not from this world, but it's from God who has blessed you richly and graciously with the love of Christ. Let's learn to have eternal perspective. Whether you're rich or you're poor, Christ is still the same. His love for you is still the same. Let's have eternal perspective together. Let's pray. Just take a moment to respond in prayer to the Word of God. What is the perspective that you have been living with? It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. What have you been living for? Is it for the things of this world? Beauty, finances, wealth, worldly success, prestige, the love of others? God says, repent, turn away from those things. Learn what it means to live for me. Learn what it means to live knowing that a crown has been promised to you, no matter what life circumstances may be. And then work for the Lord. Live for the Lord. Just take a moment to pray. If you've been living for this world, remember what it means to have eternal perspective. Learn to repent each and every day. Turn your heart to him again and again and again. We need many reminders, not just Sunday, but every day, to live for God. Just take a moment and say, God, give me this perspective. And if you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, ask of him to reveal himself so that you can believe in him, in his death and resurrection and his forgiveness for your sins. And God will meet you, and he'll open up your heart and your mind to this perspective. I promise you. Not I promise you. God promises you. If you turn to him with a repentant heart and believe in who he is, then you will be saved. Just take a moment to pray, and then I'll close us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Dear God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and then rose again. And because of the work of Christ, for those who repent and believe, you promise to us the crown of life. I thank you that there are many here who know you and have received the salvation that comes through you. Break open our minds, O Lord, to take on the eternal perspective that you give to us, that only you can give to us. And may we learn to live as a church, as individuals, as families, honoring you, obeying you, and following you because we're living with this eternal perspective. Help us not to get sucked up into this world and the temptations of this world, but may we keep our eyes on you and follow you always. God be with us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, today we're going to take a quick moment we're going to have a short prayer together. And if you look on the slide, we have a mission team that will actually be going out to the Appalachian area in Virginia. And so this is the lovely team. It's a family mission trip. And we're going to have a couple of trainings before we go. And right before we go, we'll have a sort of send-off and prayer for them. But even now, just as people of God, with this eternal perspective, even on a mission trip or in the way that we're living, we want to have eternity in view. And so if you can just take a moment, we're going to pray together. Let's pray together for the mission team as they go, as you look at those faces. I'll be on the trip as well. But let's pray for the mission team that we would take the good news of Jesus Christ and that we would help to impact and affect those who are there that we will be reaching out to with the love of God so that they too can have their eternity changed and perspectives open. So let's just take a moment to pray for that. So let's bow our heads in prayer. And if you could just pray just for a minute and pray for this team, I will close us after just a moment. So please, let's pray together for this mission team that we would have a loving heart of Christ and that we would truly serve and make an impact in the ministry that we'll be a part of. So let's take a moment to pray for that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can take part in your kingdom work here on earth. I pray for this mission team that CCC will be sending out this summer. God, would you prepare all the hearts on the team, truly, even as what we just talked about today, with an eternal perspective, not just that we will be there for a week and come back, but during that week that we know that, God, you want to use us to show your love and to change people's lives for eternity by your grace and power. So be with the team, O Lord. Remind the team our purpose, our mission, is ultimately to make your name known and to bring people to know your name. And may that just be just another outworking of our church, that's how our church would always be, that as we leave this sanctuary each and every week, we would be going out with your mission in mind, with a heart to make many people more just know that you alone are Lord. We thank you. Pray all this again in Jesus' name. Amen.